Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of papanewt.com in Kansas City, Missouri. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Papa G of WhiteMojo.com in Nashville, Tennessee. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or rootwork as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi, thank you, Papa Newt. And I'm going to just give a little a shout-out to our most long-standing and regular announcer, Miss Tammy Lee. She couldn't be with us today, so Miss Tammy Lee, wherever you are, our love, affection, and happy thoughts follow you. And thank you, Papa Newt, for filling in for her, as you often do.
And we look forward to her return.
Yeah, she'll be back soon. Papa Newt, you know, when we open up this show, I often say to Tammy Lee, how are things in Florida? Because Florida is so far away from me that I cannot even conceive that she's, you know, out there. But you're in Kansas City. So let me ask you,
right.
How are things in Kansas City, Papa Newt?
You know, they're going well. I have a lot of research projects going on, and also I do need to get back to seeing Mother Rosie as well and speak with her more.
I saw on Facebook, and what you're talking about is Mother Rosie Glass, Pastor Glass, and there is a Facebook page for her candle shop and spiritual church, and I saw that someone had posted a picture of her in the candle shop, and that was delightful to see that, because I had never seen her picture before. I was the one who took the Google Street View picture of the church and candle shop and cleaned it up, you know, and kind of sharpened it and put that up there, but it was just so lovely to see that picture of her. Please do give us a little information about that church, because people often ask, you know, what is the state of really old-time hoodoo? And this is an older woman. She's in her 80s. She is a spiritualist. She has a spiritual church and a candle shop. And I know you have a candle shop, too, but, you know, in this community, we all support one another.
Right.
And So please, if you could, give a little thing on what is the name of her church and the candle shop and the address so that people in Kansas City could go see it. It's really something.
Well, the name of her church and candle shop, it's called the True Holiness Temple Church and Candle Store. Now, it does not look like much from the outside, but that's just what you would find when these old-style candle shops. She is, let me get the address here for you. I do apologize. I know she's on 53rd Street in between Truce and Paseo, but I can't get the, I'm so sorry, Miss Cat, I'm not getting the address number.
No,
come here for me.
Let's see, there's a, I just got the Facebook place, the Facebook URL just came up, And nope, that's the wrong one, Nagashiva. He posted the wrong URL. Well, we'll come back with that. I do want people to know about her, and I want people to know about that. Learning from the older people who are really good workers. I've been doing a lot of research myself lately on some of the older workers. In my case, most of them are deceased, maybe all of them at this point. I've been researching the informants who Harry Hyatt spoke to and interviewed in his five volumes of Hoodoo, Conjuration, Witchcraft, Rootwork books. And it's been interesting. I have found photos of some of these people. You know, they had other lives other than just being informants to Harry Hyatt, you know. And although it has been said by a couple of people, oh, they were all just, you know, down-home hoodooists who were, sharecroppers or whatever, I have found that, in fact, they had many different types of occupations. And it's been very interesting seeing these pictures, people who were oystermen, barrel makers, you name it, bus drivers. You can find that in the census reports, and which are online. And I've just been having a wonderful time kind of tripping through the past myself, which is one reason I asked about Pastor Rosie Glass, because she really is of the older generation, the generation that taught me, and I'm already being called an elder by some people, but she's a real elder. So that is, something that we all owe honor and respect to. I've also been spending some time researching Harry Hyatt's life, because everyone knows, well, you know, Harry Middleton Hyatt, amateur folklorist, Anglican minister. That's kind of the five-word synopsis of that man's life. But there's a lot more to his life, too. And he talked about it in his books, which nobody ever reads that. But I have found out just today, and I posted it today on my Facebook page, my Catherine Ironwood Facebook page, not the Lucky Mojo one, that he was, in the 40s, the minister at a French-language Episcopalian church in New York City, a Church of the Holy Spirit, in French. And that particular place is still operating, it's still a church. It's been there since 1804, and they have always held their services in French for visiting French people, you know, diplomats and tourists and so forth, also for Haitians and Africans who are Francophone and French Canadians. So I just found out that Harry Hyatt was like that. He was the priest at this Episcopalian church that was Francophone, and that's kind of a trip. And that was in 1942. Yeah, isn't that wild? But places his interest and knowledge of world folklore and stuff in a slightly different context, you know. So he's always been a fascinating person to me, and much reviled by those who really didn't know much about him. And, encourage anybody who wants to know about hoodoo to study the works of Harry Hyatt. Now, he was not the only researcher. There was also a man named Nubel Niles Puckett who came before him. And Nubel Niles Puckett interviewed 400 black Americans about hoodoo for his doctoral thesis, which was published as a book called Folk Beliefs of the Southern Negro. And he has the names of all of his informants in the back. So I just randomly, literally just let my eye go down these pages and pages of names, which are grouped in, you know, bundles. And I just found one, and it was just a very odd name. Picked it out of a hat at random, really, and out of, you know, 400 names. And I thought, I'll never find this person. But I did. I found her sisters. I'll post it up soon. Just a group of nice black women standing in their home, at what looks like a family reunion. And these are real people, folks. This is not just some sort of a mystical, they suffered, they bled, they were whipped. No. These are ladies in church dresses, who one of whom was the informant of Nubel Niles Puckett. And I find this really interesting because there's been a lot of talk about how Hyatt and Puckett kind of ripped off and appropriated this material. But I've also found out that one of the families that really spent the most time with Harry Hyatt was an extended family of people with the surname Dennis, Williams, Wilson, and Gavin. And he interviewed many members of that family, but they also opened up their homes to him, and he set up his recording studio in their homes, both the Gavin home and the Wilson home. And that's, excuse me, Williams. It was the Williams home. I get Wilson, Williams. And those are interesting things, too, finding out about those people, who they were, where they came from, what they did, and why they were so interested in telling the stories of their family. And I think that there's been this idea that Hyatt didn't understand them and that Hyatt didn't know what he was listening to and he got everything wrong. But if you read the interviews and if you kind of put it together with the census reports, you find out that these people were very conscious of the fact that they were being interviewed. Audio recordings were being made. They were very aware of what was going on, and they were very happy to cooperate. And there was a sense of importance to what was being done, and they would even tell the names of their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and who they were descended from, and even going back into slavery times would say who was the slave owner, who had owned their family, so as to place themselves in a cultural context that Harry Hyatt could understand. And I find this fascinating. I've been working on it pretty much as my little hobby for many, many years, but recently something just shifted it, and I'll be doing it for a while at a more rapid rate. But that's what I've been up to. All right, so how about you, Ollie?
That is fascinating to me. I got to say that I'm listening here as a historian and folklorist myself, and I'm going, this is the type of work we definitely need. I think a lot of people talk about down-home hoodoo and all that, and that's great, but true preservation comes not in what you can tell other people about what you're doing, but going back and really recovering the voices that have been lost or forgotten. And so I'm appreciative of this, and you know that I'm very eager to hear more about this, so we'll definitely be chatting on Tuesday. On my end, I have been quite busy. I am enjoying work. Mercury in retrograde is in full swing. Just want to give a quick update about that. For people who are unfamiliar, Mercury retrograde is in Aquarius at this time. So look for breakdowns in logic, clarity, also conflicts with knowledge bearers. Let me tell you, I've seen it. People going up against their teachers or teachers and students having miscommunication with one another, as well as media, you know, kind of breakdown of media, because that's what Aquarius traditionally rules. I have always done particularly well. I probably shouldn't say this because now I'm going to jinx it. So I'm not.
Don't jinx
yourself.
I've always
done particularly, I've done generally pretty well with Mercury in retrograde. And for me, it's more an observation thing, just watching what goes on around me. And I got to say, the key to Mercury in retrograde, and I've said this before on the radio show, and I'll say it again, is to learn to just ride the wave, right? Mercury is all about fluidity. It's all about that mercurial nature. And I've learned over time to just kind of go with it. And at the end of the day, things around me, I may see friends who argue with one another. I may see other people's logic break down. But I kind of remain in the center of the storm. And I think the key is, one, having a healthy respect for Mercury as a spirit and force in our lives, as well as definitely just learning to go with the flow. And if you learn to do that, I think you'll be fine. But I've had lots of complaints this past week about things just breaking down. As Professor Ames, a brilliant astrologer, mentioned, electronics and computers are ruled by Aquarius. Absolutely. Media is another thing that really just breaks down when Mercury goes retrograde in Aquarius.
Yeah, I'm going to throw my little two cents into that one, too, briefly. I have my moon in Aquarius, so when Mercury goes red, Aquarius, it's always electronics and things like that, phones and things like that for me. However, you'll notice that I mentioned what I'm doing is work on history, and that's a very interesting thing that I was taught when young about Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde is a good time to pick up projects you set aside.
Yeah.
It is a good time to research history in particular.
Yes.
But it's also a good time, anything that you started writing say, 10 years ago, and you never finished it, now's the time. And that's what I've been doing, is bringing forth some work that I had not completed when I started over 10 years ago.
Aquarius,
so there are ways to work with
social scientists, absolutely. Aquarius is the sign that rules the social scientist, the anthropologist, the sociologist, all of that comes from Aquarius. It's that sign. And so when it goes into retrograde, doing old projects on that, and especially doing what is called ethnographic history, is particularly common.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great time for that. So I love that it lines up perfectly with what you're doing. I mean, there you go. The weather's perfect.
Yeah, I'm one of the, So let's bring in our guest today, Papa G. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, Papa G.
How are you today?
Oh, we're fine. Now, for those who don't know Papa G., Papa G's company is called White Mojo, and I'm going to just say something about that because people say, what does that mean, White Mojo? Well, it's because his last name is White, folks.
Yeah.
Okay, I hope I didn't let the cat out of the bag on that one.
Oh, no. You can easily hunt me down.
Right, right. No, but you know what I always say is you always remind me of that song by the Chapmans, I'm an old hoodoo, and I work with that White Mojo. And I always have thought that was very funny because the man is singing about using a horseshoe, which is a very white, meaning European type of hoodoo, and he's saying, well, that's White Mojo. But, yeah, there's a whole song about you, White Mojo. So tell us what you've been up to lately, and then we're going to get into our panel discussion, too.
I've been doing a lot of candle altar work, and it seems like the theme for 2015 is reconciliation and money. No one
mm-hmm.
wants anything else. It's just those two for me. No one has wanted to reconcile their money yet, but that's probably right around the corner.
Now, you know, a lot of people don't take reconciliation work. They just won't do it. You heard
there's
it
only
here.
A handful
but
of
Papa, but yeah, there's only a few. So Papa G, he does reconciliation work. And so if you're all looking for someone to handle that kind of a case,
mm-hmm.
go to whitemojo.com because that is something that, like I said, there are not too many who will do those kind of work. They get, you know, they get discouraged.
I make you work for it too, though.
Ah, there's your secret. That's your secret. You make the client do something while you back up the work. Is that right?
Yeah, I tell everyone it's like I can't do a lot of spell and root work for you, and then you just sit back and wait for the phone to ring. Like, you know, we'll set that all up, and then you still got to tell the person you're still in love with them. You want them back, and you want them to come back, and you know. I tell people, you know, I can do a lot of root work to make sure I have lots of food coming into the house, but unless I get in the kitchen and cook it, it's not going to happen.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, that's a very good...
That's a nice segue. You bring us to the kitchen, and I'm going to say that our topic today that you suggested and that you brought into us is hoodoo, food, and drink. And this is something that is used a lot in love work. Before we start, I would like to mention, just to let people know, that our church, Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, published a book called Hoodoo Food. And that is a book in the old tradition of church cookbooks, you know, ladies' auxiliary cookbooks. It was edited by Sister Robin Peterson. And it contains recipes for food and drink that are used in hoodoo, but also from other cultures too, because we have many members in our church who come from different backgrounds. So there are all kinds of recipes for food and drink. If y'all don't have the book, Hoodoo Food, you ought to get it. But let's get down into what we're going to talk about. So, Papa G, start us off on the subject of hoodoo food and drink.
Well, you know, recently, a lot of people know I mainly have a soap, aromatherapy, and a tea company. And I sold my tea company a couple of years ago, recently bought it back. And so I have this entire wall of teas and herbs at my disposal now. So I'm thinking, well, how can I incorporate these into my practice? And one of the things that occurred to me was, like, for example, I was taught a very simple way to do protection of your property was to mix calendula or marigold with your urine.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what about taking it a step further? I thought, well, okay, mix it with your urine. Well, what did you drink? Did you have a Coke? Why not let's prep that first with having a tea of something that would actually protect your property?
That's a very cool idea.
Yeah, a tea of like bay leaf and ginger and margarine and a little bit of cumin and then, you know, drink that all day and then collect the urine, mix it with the calendula or the marigold, and then mark your property with it. So that's a way to actually take in the magic and then push it back out.
That's really interesting. I had never considered that myself, so you certainly put something up there that is unusual. Now, let's take this a little further. Right around now, I guess we're going to have about 100 people going, urine? What? Okay. So let's talk about the use of personal concerns in food and drink. No, we are not talking about, you know, the old Hindu method of making people drink their urine. No. Not that. We're talking about a little dabble, do you, right? Just a touch. And it's just to mark it for yourself. Many ladies will use menstrual blood. And some of the more raucous men will use a little bit of their cum. And women who are not menstruating might use a little of their pussy juice. But urine is also used. Sweat is also used. So we're not talking about putting in, you know, a cup here, all right? Just make that real clear.
Yeah, right. I actually use it to actually put it at the four corners of your property.
Well, we're talking about food and drink now. I'm talking about people put it in food and drink. They do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a touch.
A couple of drops. You won't need a measuring cup for that.
No. And in the chat room, Shiva mentions tears. That is true too. And people have also used their venous or arterial blood, although that is not very common in hoodoo. It is absolutely not common because people in hoodoo do not usually cut themselves to produce blood for use in magic. I mean, it's just kind of not heard of. It's more of a modern goth thing. People do ask about it, but that's not one of the ones that we do too much. People will use their fingernails and toenails also in cooking.
Absolutely.
But you know, again, you need to put them in such a way that that you know they're not going to be seen. Now, in the chat room, Dragon Gypsy says, "How do you store the blood?" Well, lady or man, whoever you are, Dragon Gypsy, we're not talking about blood so much. Maybe menstrual blood, but remember, we're just talking about all kinds of body fluids here. So let's ask the question: how do you store bodily proteins? Because that's what we're really talking about: protein. Protein breaks down. So if you ever kept a house, you'd know that you put it in a freezer, right? Put it in a freezer.
Yep.
Unless you're into canning, well, you could can it. I mean, you could literally make some canned foods if you know how to make canned foods, and you could can it with a little touch of your special whatever. But but freezing is the best way. And Madam Nadia says refrigerator. Well, that'll keep for 3 to 5 days. Proteins degrade. I mean, you know, let's put it this way. How long does that slice of pizza stay good in your refrigerator before it starts to get moldy and stuff? You know, so any kind of protein from the body, I would recommend that you either can it or freeze it. That's just my sense of it. Let's go back to hoodoo foods. Ali, do you have any favorite foods or drink methods or recipes that you like to share?
Absolutely. The way I was taught, I can tell you the exact moment when I learned the value of tricking people and situations and circumstances. I was probably in the 5th or 6th grade, and I was having difficulties with my teacher at the time, who seemed to favor one student over everyone else. and being the difficult student that I was at the time, it's understandable. So I went to Mom and Jay, who was my conjure teacher, and I asked her, you know, just to complain. And she said, you just need to fix the situation. And we made a powder that we laid down. Now, that's not a food or a drink, but at that, and it fixed the problem. It resolved the problem for me. But it was at that moment that I realized that fixing is the way to go. And so now, from then on, there is not a workplace I have been to, there is not a social situation that I have been to that I have not turned to my advantage, and primarily through the use of food. I've mentioned on the show before that when I go to work, I bring in cookies and sweets and all sorts of lovely things that I have tricked. One of the simplest things is cinnamon and sugar. It's a really great mixture that can be added to anything. You can keep cinnamon and sugar in a bowl with your petition and pray over it over a period of time, and then add it into your cooking, a little bit in some tea, a little bit in some cookies. Hey, make some snickerdoodles. I've mentioned them before. And they work wonders. Cinnamon and sugar, it will make people pliable towards you. It will make people favorable towards you. It will draw them closer to you. You can use it on a boss to get you some money. You can use it on a potential lover to heat them up and make them desire you. And you can use it just to make friends. It is a great way of working. I think hoodoo foods is something that you don't hear a lot of people talk about, right? It's there. It's a very common practice, but it's not something that people go to immediately, you know. They say, oh, I have a problem at work. What kind of, you know, candle can I light? And I'm like, why don't you feed everyone, right? It's really a great way of influencing the people around you. So I'm a big believer in sweets. I use sweets quite often. I use cookies and cinnamon and sugar. It's my go-to. It's simple. It's easy. It's right in your kitchen, and you can get a lot done with it.
That's really good. That's one of those things, too,
where you could take the sugar from work and make your snickerdoodles with.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I like to use a little bit of tinctures. I was raised in a family that that often made recipes that had a little bit of alcohol to make the sauce. You know, a little wine, a little brandy, depending on if it was sweet or savory. And savory, you often would use wine. And wine is a good preservative, too. You can put things in wine, and they will stay. And they will also, if you put herbs in wine, they will give up some of their essence. So that's just another
mulled wine during the holidays.
Yeah, well, that too, yeah. I was thinking, though, in terms of savory, if you, for instance, want to make, let's say some entree, and it's going to have a sauce, then you could put wine in the sauce, like if it was a meat-type dish, and you might put rosemary in the wine. A lot of people know about rosemary vinegar, but you can do the same with rosemary in the wine. Rosemary is to give women a rulership of the household. Also vinegar. Vinegar is a great way to create a essence of a plant, basil, rosemary, and other household strengthening types of herbs could be put into the vinegar or the wine, and then that is used to create the sauce that's put, you know, even like vinegar on a potato salad or whatever it is you're making, even a salad dressing. Okay. Of course, you're going to pray over those when you do it. You don't just like, I'm putting in rosemary, I'm done. No, you have to pray for what you want and do a little bit of work for what you want. Some people will prepare these kinds of foodstuffs in a more elaborate way. Some people just do it in the kitchen right on the fly. But if you have the time, you might set up a little bit of a space, and you can say, I'm working for love and harmony between these people in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And you name them. You put their names there. You might even put their names and your petition about those people that should be in harmony underneath that little bottle of vinegar, and let it just sit off someplace by itself for a while till it steeps, and then you can take it away, and the paper is not seen by anybody. Now you just have vinegar in the cupboard, because they don't know what went into it. Also, you can write a prayer on paper in a water-soluble ink and dip it into the wine or the vinegar, just dip, dip, dip to get the prayer into the liquid, and then that can be used in cooking.
You know, cooking for harmony and love is great, but you can also use it for protection or to drive away someone who's troublesome. We've mentioned this during holiday specials on the radio show before, but dressing, vinegar dressing with a little bit of peppers in there, black peppers, salt, is a great way of stomping the influence of a troublesome relative or making sure that they eat the food and go away and never come back. So you can use food not just to draw people in, but also as protective or to stop gossip if you have someone gossiping at work or to drive away people who you need to be drive away. It is called tricking, after all. So you can use it for a variety of different intents, not just good intents, though I encourage it. But if you have an enemy at work, a sneaky trick is to feed them something that says bye-bye.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, Miss Bree has a recipe in the Hoodoo Food Cookbook on page 84, hot foot chili.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Kat and Nagashima and I were chatting. It's like, what if you took it a step further and you actually, you know, hers doesn't have beans because she's a Texas recipe, but she says you can add them. What if you were to take your cans of chili and rub them down with Lucky Mojo hot foot oil and burn your red candles on top with your petition underneath it? And then have your hot foot powder and dirt waiting at the doorway for the person to come home that you want to get out, and then feed them the chili when they come inside.
Mm-hmm.
This is
all different angles. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a real, real old, cool way to work. There are old spells that we all know about them that you use sugar in the box, and you rip the top, or cut the top off the box, put a candle in it, burn the candle in it. And then use the sugar. And people also know about other kinds of jar spells, a jar of honey, a jar of sugar, a jar of molasses, a jar of whatever. Those are all very famous, very well-known things. But a can of chili, absolutely, with a candle burned on it, and then open that can is going to be really, pulling for you to do what you want done.
Mm-hmm.
That is really very, very good. And, of course, the same goes with other kinds of canned goods that might have another sense to them. For instance, we all know about using canned cherries, making a cherry pie, and we all know that cherry pie has a certain resonance with female sexuality. Right? So say you wanted a female lover, or you wanted to show that you were a female who was ready for love. However you want to pull it together, you're going to use cherry pie as your medium. You can use those canned cherries. And I love this idea. Burn a red candle on it. I would possibly insert that candle in my little hoodie there and get a little bit of anointing on it that was not just an oil. And after that, then put a little oil on it too. And then make that cherry pie. Isn't that nice? You could just do that. It would be very nice. And if you use some sugar and stuff in it, too, that was already prepared, you'd have a cherry pie that everyone would really love and would love you. Okay? They would love you. And that's what you're looking for when you would do that kind of work. There's many, many ways to do this kind of thing. Now,
a lot
another
of people
one.
Are going to be looking to how to hoodooify their Betty Crocker cookbook.
All right. Well, that's what that book is about, Hoodoo Food, because we put in a ton of them, but there's a million more. There's a million, million more. And, as soon as you start thinking in this way, you'll start seeing that even recipes that were never advertised or told to you as being money drawing or protective or whatever can be intentionalized or prayed over to make them that way. For instance, we all know garlic is protective, right? That's well known.
Exactly. Right.
Well, garlic is used in many, many, many a thing. So there you go. Another one that is everybody, knows is pretty commonly understood that cornbread is for money, and greens are for folding money and things like that. And people do all these kinds of different New Year's celebrations with those kinds of foods, but you eat them all the time anyway, right? So if you're going to do that, if you're going to do that, why not put a little bit more oomph into it and really, pray about that thing and work it so that you actually are working for money. For instance, if you're making greens and you're making it, you know it's for folding money, it's, yeah, sure, just on New Year's? No, you can do it anytime. And put in a little bit of other herbs and things that will bring people's intention toward you to make you the person they give their money to. For instance, just as an example, let's say you have a stingy husband and you are cooking up greens and you want your husband to be more forthcoming and more generous to you. Again, that's where you would go to the rosemary. But you might even put in a little sprinkle of five-finger grass. Not many people know that is edible. It's not good tasting, but it's not bad tasting, and it is edible. So it won't poison you to put just a little bit of powdered up five-finger grass, because that's to give people to give you favors. So put that in the greens. And you can, call over it what you want to have people to give you, to bring to you, you see?
Absolutely. And I think this really highlights what we're talking about. And this is an excellent topic, Papaji. The hoodoo is more than just a magical system. It is a cultural practice. I mean, cooking is involved in it, right? Ways of cooking. And it's a way of thinking. When you're cooking, you're putting intention into it. And it's whether you're doing it specifically for an individual, you know, I want this person to like me, you know, so I'm going to add sexual fluids or sugar or whatever it is, or tying to certain things like drawing in luck, bringing in a good and prosperous new year. It's all tied to a specific culture, and remembering that can help you really change the way you do hoodoo, especially if you're new to the tradition. You move beyond looking at this as, oh, what type of candle can I light, and go, ah, it's an entire way of thinking, and it's informed by certain values, certain concepts, and food and family is a central part of that.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
and of course, I want to remind everyone to make sure to double-check your ingredients, because not all things are that good for you. what is it, Kat, that St. John wort does? It kind of messes up your stomach a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh, no, not St. John's wort. No. You're taking
John the Conqueror.
John the Conqueror. Yeah, that is a laxative. Yeah. It's a laxative, and if you have too much of it, it'll make you vomit. You'll go from both ends. That is definitely something. But on the other hand, Little John to Chew is called Little John to Chew because it's quite edible, otherwise known as galangal or brown ginger. It's very much used in South Asian food, very good to use for court cases. All right. Well, thank you for this discussion of hoodoo foods. And you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And we'll be right back with our first call. And before we go, I just wanted to say that the Facebook page for the True Holiness Temple Church is facebook.com/True Holiness Temple Church. That's it, True Holiness Temple Church. And you'll find the picture of Miss Rosie Glass. All right, let's turn it over to Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ali, and this week's special guest, Papa G, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divinations and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you are available to be on the air. We will select our callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, I'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. And we have our first caller calling in from area code 661 in Bakersfield, California. This is Hopeful Love. Hopeful Love, are you there?
Yes, hi. I'm so excited to be on the show for the first time.
Well, welcome. And as she said, she is a first-time listener and a first-time caller, though she has not gone to any other readers or any
readings with Miss Cat or Contramali, though she has the chance to meet Miss Cat Friday, I believe, after
yes.
the hour store was closed. Though she has had Apollo Dark do a reading on the 24th on the situation, and she writes, "I was in a relationship for 2 years. It was beautiful. I was pregnant but lost the baby in June of 2014. The last 10 months of our relationships were long distance, and we lived 3 hours apart. In October 2014, he and I attended a conference. He brought another girl whom he would later tell me he was cheating on with me. We broke up that month, 6 days after they began dating, and they still are seeing each other, one another. I really love this man, and I want to find it out if we still have a chance, and if there's a way to break them up and return him to me." Turning it over to you, Ms. Kat.
Well, you called at the right time, because we just mentioned Papa G is one of the
yes.
few people who does reconciliation spell work. Well, I'm going to do the first reading on this, because the question comes up first before the root work, and the question is it possible? Now I'm going to ask a couple of more questions, and I do remember talking to you, hon, and asking you to call
yes.
the show, so I'm glad you did. So
yes,
what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Leo.
A Leo. And what is the man's sign of the zodiac?
Pisces.
A Pisces?
Well, yeah, Pisces.
Pisces, okay. So I'm going to tell you from in front. Leo is a what's called a fixed fire sign, very
mm-hmm.
loyal, very a person who can always be trusted. They are very, very regal people, and they do what they say they will do, even to the point of stubbornness. Pisces is a very mystical sign. They're a mutable water sign, and just like fluttering, you know, ripples of water, they will change. So they may not be the most steady person. Do you know what sign the other woman is?
Sagittarius.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
Sagittarius mm-hmm. is mutable fire. So what he saw in her was some of your fieriness, but he saw the same mutability that he
mm-hmm.
had. In other
mm-hmm.
words, the same changeableness. It seems to me that he may have made his decision based on that, and they may not stay together a long time, because mutable people tend to be more changeable, but two of them can live together, not the worst thing in the world, can actually be sometimes very nice. But what he has for her is independent of what he has for you. So I'm going to ask you one more question. You broke up in October 2014. Have you stayed in touch? Has he seen you? Has he talked to you? Does he respond to your messages?
Actually, that week, the next weekend on the 18th, we did see each other. We went to a conference that we both got accepted to, and that was the last time I saw him. The last time I spoke to him was on the 23rd, and I chose not to talk to him, to cut communication off, because I just felt like, I mean, he told me, he felt like, you know, I feel like we're going to get back together. That's why I'm not worried. So to me, that felt like he was kind of like messing with both of us. Like, he wanted to have both of us. He wanted to have a girlfriend back home, but he still wanted me here. Like, he knew I would take him back. So for me, like, I didn't like that. And I was like, you know, like, I can't do that.
Right. All right. I understand. So you cut off the communication, but you're still kind of interested.
Yes. I still love
you. May
him.
Be having a what we'd say dumper's remorse. Dumper's remorse is when a lady or a man dumps somebody. They I'm done. You hurt me too much. I got to go. Or you're not good enough. Or we had a problem. I'm done. And then they start to feel remorse for that, and they say, maybe I should have. Not done it. So now you're asking us, after having told him and telling me that you didn't feel good about him, now you're asking, well, will he ever come back? Well, let's look at the cards, all right? I'm going to look at the cards, because what I'm seeing here is a complicated situation. Yes?
He actually broke up with me on the day of the conference in October. He was with her and stuff, and then we ended up missing.
Yeah, you already told us that. I got that
okay.
picture, honey.
Oh, okay.
I got the picture. All right.
Okay.
So here's the thing. You're not in communication with him now, is what I'm getting. All right. And you know, all right. So the first card I have here is a card that says to me, this is a card of the past, and it says to me that we have here a man who's called the Knight of Swords, and he's a sort of a disorganized guy. He's running around. He is not the best marriage bait at this point because of his disorganization. He doesn't know whether he wants the past, the present, or the future, and he's got a sword out, and he's just kind of spurring his horse. He's not treating his horse well, and he is a person who's confused, who does things too quickly without enough thought. That's his card, okay, for this reading. That's not his permanent card, but that's his card for this reading. And next, we have a card that is the card of the present. And it's a sad card. It's called the Nine of Swords. And it shows a woman or a man, but in this case we'll call it a woman, waking up in a single bed crying. This man hurt you. There's an image on the bed carved of one man stabbing another through the heart, and the person who's stabbed is falling down. And what I'm seeing here is that you've been hurt, and there is still a lot of tears and sorrow, but it may be that you need to wake up from this. We always say that to this lady who's got her hands over her eyes, wake up, lady, wake up. It's a nightmare, and it's over. And it also can be a card of depression, and it can be a card that says, you know, you're clinging to something that's actually making you cry. Third card is another card with a sword on it, although it is not a swords card, and it's called the card of justice. So I have three swords cards. Now, swords are cards of difficulty and obstacles, and they can be cards of having to separate and move forward by cleaning up old things. So first we had the Knight of Swords, that's him. Then we have the Nine of Swords, that's you. And the third card is justice. And this is a woman, a goddess, who sits on a bench with a sword in her hand. Not in the sword suit. She's in the suit of trumps, but she has a sword. And she has a balance beam scale, and that scale is in perfect balance. And this says to me that what you should work for is a restoration of balance. And it does not indicate getting back together with him so much as getting your own mental and emotional state back in balance. So that's how I read it. Now, I'm going to turn it over to Papa G and see how he reads it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Kat. You know, the three cards I pulled, they may be different cards than you have, but they're telling the same story. Because the first one is the Chariot. And, you know, the card of the past. I read this card a little differently than a lot of people. You know, it shows a man in a chariot. He has some cards actually show them with a horse on either side. These are two sphinxes, one black, one white. And I read this as a card of being torn in two different directions, which I think is what, at one time, he was with you, then he was with her, and then he was talking to you both, and it seems like now he's already moved into a decision of, because you have, when was the last time you talked to him? I didn't quite hear that before.
October 23rd.
So it's been several months.
Yeah.
So it seems like that decision-making process for him is already in the past. He's already found which direction he wants to pull to. Because the next card is actually the Queen of Swords. And it's actually a card about telling you that you need to think more clearly, that your perception of the situation may be a little bit clouded by your emotions. And it's telling you not to let your emotions rule your decisions about this. To use more of your head than your heart. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And then the final card, it's going along the same lines of what Kat's reading was, is we have the Fool, where it's time for you, time for you to begin something new and start out on a new journey without him and open your own life into all the possibilities that it has without him, because there's a lot you can do, but it's time to start over.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'm awful sorry, hon, because I know that when I spoke with you, you were really hoping that there would be a reading. And I said I couldn't do a reading right then on the phone, but you were hoping for a reading that would be, yeah, he's coming back. But what we're seeing here is that this path is closed and it's over. Let's turn this over to Contraman Ollie. And Ollie, let's talk about some root work. I know she wants to break them up, and that's a possibility, but let's talk about some root work for this woman here.
You know, I couldn't agree more with these readings, and I think it's very fitting that you call in during this time with Mercury in retrograde in Aquarius, which really does break down clarity. The point of a reading is to provide that clarity, and I know that you hope that we are going to sit here and go, yes, you can get him back, here's how you do it. But I think more than anything else, what you need is to heal yourself, to remove yourself of the hold that this relationship and the way it ended has over you. No matter how beautiful the relationship was for 2 years, that doesn't change the fact that this man cheated and moved on with someone else. And I said this in the chat room, I don't think you're in the chat room, and I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to give you a guy's perspective. If a guy wants you, 3-hour long distance is nothing. It is nothing. A guy will make the effort. So even if the relationship seemed beautiful to you towards the end, something was missing. Something was going wrong with this guy's thought elsewhere. And I think you need to bear that in mind. And so what I want you to do is I want you to get a photo of you and him together. All right? And on the back of this photo, I want you to write everything that went wrong in this relationship. Now, why I want you to do this, I'm not trying to rehash old wounds, but I'm looking for clarity here. I want you to be able to look at this with a fresh set of eyes after we have given you this reading. Really take a look at it. Don't go, oh, everything was great. Yeah, he cheated on me. Really be like, you know what? He actually wasn't very honest. He didn't make an effort to communicate with me. He brought someone else to the conference. I don't know about you, but that's a big-ass deal to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you need to write that down. You write all that stuff down on that piece of paper, on that photo. And I want you to get yourself a heat-proof bowl or cauldron, whatever the heck you can get, that's heat-proof and isn't going to crack. And you're going to fold that up with a pinch of salt. And you're going to say, I drive away all this hurt. I drive away this mess from me. I send it far, far away. I don't want anything that he resembles this. I don't want the pain. I don't want the mistrust. I don't want the drama. I don't want any of it. I remove it from my life entirely. It's going to go, and keep on going. You're going to toss that into your heat-proof bowl, add some Florida water, and set that sucker on fire. You are purifying your life with fire. You're burning it down and saying, I don't want any more of it. And it isn't aggressive. It isn't hateful. It is purifying flames. You're asking God, the Lord, or your creator, whatever you want to call that power, to no longer bring that type of hurt in your life. And I want you to really sit by that fire and allow yourself to be cleansed. Smell the fragrance of the Florida water and allow yourself to be purified and see with clarity for the first time that you don't need that type of pain in your life. When it's all burned down, I want you to take that mess, take it to a running water, toss it, not the bowl, you can keep that, but everything inside the bowl, toss it into the river and say, this river runs, may this mess run right out of my life. Then you're going to come back home and I want you to take a nice cleansing bath, something that's going to be good for you. I've recommended it in the past, violet leaves, rose petals, some lavender, brew that into a tea and wash yourself with that. Soak a little bit in that. That's to help both heal the heart and to open you up to new love. The final step is I want you to take a piece of paper again and write down all the qualities you're looking for in a lover. So the exact opposite of what you just did. You're going to talk about all the good things you're looking for. You want a man who communicates openly and honestly with you, a man who puts you first, a man who isn't afraid to express his feelings to you, a man who treats you well, who loves you as fiercely and as strongly as you love him, a man who's going to provide for you and help you out financially, who's going to be there in your life, who's going to be an emotional support, a physical support, any quality you're looking for, you're going to write that down, okay? And you're going to fold it up with two rose petals, and you're going to place this on a heat-proof dish, and you're going to set some Love Me incense on top of it, okay? I want you to make that incense into a cone, and you're going to light it as a burnt offering to the Lord, and you're going to pray as that incense goes up. You're going to pray to God that wherever this man is, this perfect man who was made just for you is going to come to you. From the four corners of the world, no matter how far away he is, he's going to come running right into your arms. You're going to let that incense burn down as you pray. Make sure that the petition paper, the little prayer that you wrote, also gets burnt up. So it'll use a match, light it. When the ashes are all mixed together, take that to the crossroads and blow it with your breath and prayer into the crossroads and call that man to come to you. Walk away and completely live your life. This man will come to you before you realize it, and you will never look back. All right, my dear?
Okay.
Wow. That's really a good spell, and I love that thing about blowing ashes at the crossroads. I'm just going to add a little bit about that because some people don't know how you do that. You put the ashes in the palm of your hand. If you're right-handed, it will be your right hand.
Yes.
And you hold it up near your mouth with the heel of your hand towards your chin, and you puff, 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 and you blow in all four directions down the roads, down in all four directions, standing at the center of the crossroads. Most people go in this order, east, south, west, north, and then turn again to the east, wave your hand, that's the last of it, and beckon the person to come to you. But that you don't have to go all the way around, but it's just blow to the four quarters. And some people will start do it backwards. They'll go from north, west, south, and east, saying he's going to come from the east. Why do we say come from the east? Because the sun rises in the east. Now, they don't mean the literal man come from the east, but the east represents new beginnings. So if it's something that's dead, you might blow it to the north first, you see, and then because that's death and darkness, and then to the west, that's the dying, and then the sun is in the south, it's high, and then in the east is where it comes up. So you can kind of go counterclockwise. Different people do it different ways, but that's what it means to blow the ashes at the crossroads. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Papa G, do you have anything to add to this?
That Conjurman Ali pretty much gave the exact root work advice I was thinking of for this. The only thing, I can tell you something that I, along the lines of what you were talking about, Kat, when I do something, with you, when you talk, I actually talk into the palm of the hand. And let's say if it were something like, if there were love work, to actually kiss the palm of the hand and then put in the powders and blow over the candle.
Very good. And I'll tell you another one, too, because we're just talking about this way of working. If it's for money, you can put a coin in and put the ashes in. And that's a whole other spell, but that's, you are so right. You can put things in the palm of the hand. Very good.
Absolutely.
Very good. Yeah, this is a beautiful way of working, and you do need to take into consideration, honey, that there are men out there who will not cheat. There are men who will be as loyal as a Leo and support you. And really help you in your life and be your partner. That's what you need. All right. Thanks for calling. And
thank
you're
you
listening
so much.
To the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. And we're going to take a little break, and then we'll come right back with our second caller, and we'll do another reading and another bit of root work advice.
Support for this programming is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org.
Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next caller. We have a caller calling in from Seattle at area code 206. This is Gregory. Gregory, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Now, Gregory, I do see this is your first time calling into the show, but you've been a long-time listener of the archives and never had any other readings from anybody else and has never had a reading from Conjure Mount Lee or Miss Katz. Is that correct?
Yes.
Certainly. And Gregory writes, I was an embalmer and a funeral director for many years, but had to quit after getting cancer from all the chemicals. I'm 6 years cancer-free. Hooray! But now am at a loss as to where to go with my life now. I'm in my 50s, an artist, a happy tourist, and have a man of 9 years I am still stupid in love with. I am now working at a religious supply store and mostly enjoy it, but want a better job or advancement. Work life is so important to me. I feel I've had to start life over. I feel stuck and rather confused. I've used quite a few Lucky Mojo products in my spiritual work. Could you give me any root work advice as well? I appreciate your time and help. Thank you. Turning it over to you, Miss Kat.
All right. Well, Gregory, this is now we're having a multiple Gregory moment here.
Mm-hmm.
Papa G is a Gregory.
Yeah.
And so there we go. And we're having a multiple Taurus moment as well.
Yeah.
you've wandered into the large, what we call the bullpen here with all the Tauruses.
Oh.
And so,
I'm in good hands, I'm sure.
You're in good hands with Tauruses who believe that work is so important.
I don't know
what it is about us Tauruses, but we do love our work. We really do. Mm-hmm. And all right. Well, and I'm very glad to hear that you're cancer-free. Now, it doesn't seem to me like you're actually asking for a reading, are you? You're really asking for some root work advice, and we can spend all our time on that if that's what you'd like. Or if you want a reading, but you've already kind of diagnosed yourself, you tell me, do you want a reading or just root work advice?
Just some root work advice, I think.
Okay. All right. We'll go with that. Now I'm going to ask a couple other questions. You said you're working in a religious supply store. I have a question.
Yes.
Is this a denominational? Is it a metaphysical store? What exactly kind of store is this?
It is denominational. It's mostly Christian. Statuary, candles, all kinds of saints. I work with saints a lot, and so that's a good thing for me. But we really Buddhists come in. Everybody comes in. Everybody uses candles and incense and everything. So.
All right, so it's not specifically Catholic, it's not specifically Protestant, it's just basically Christian.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right, I understand. All right, well, that's very interesting. Okay, I'm going to say that from what I feel of you, and you say you're feeling stuck, what the real thing you may be wanting is to advance in your career. And it may not be at this store, but it may be
mm-hmm.
to advance on your own. Tauruses are notorious for wanting to be their own bosses, and
yes.
they are notorious for wanting to, you know, they take charge. So I'm going to turn this over to Ollie, and we'll see where it goes because we got three people here. We're all going to try to pitch in. But let's start with Ollie on some ideas of how to. Use, first of all, the Christian religion, and second of all, where you work now to get you where you want to go. So, before I get this to Ali, one more thing. If it was not working in this religious store and it was not being in the embalmer and funeral director, what job would you like?
I'd make money from my art. I really would. It's really tough because you have to create your own market and you've got to get people interested in your stuff and that's for about 60% of it, so it's tough out there. But
mm-hmm.
I've had a little success, but I'd like some more.
Okay, when you say art, let's get real specific. Painting,
mm-hmm.
sculpture.
Yes, Yes, painting, and I also do fiber arts. I do embroidery and weaving and all kinds of stuff.
Ah, I'm going to direct you right over to Professor Ames pretty soon.
Okay.
Professor Ames is a weaver. He's not our guest, but you should check him out. A root worker who's a weaver. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Now I'm going to turn you over to Ollie. Okay.
You really have called in at the best time with the best people, as we're all tourists and we all work for ourselves. We're our own bosses. And Kat, you know, is absolutely right on that. It's great having a job, right? Tourists feel productive when they have a job. When they don't have a job, there's something missing. But at the end of the day, we want our job to be something we love. That's very important for us, right? We want it to be something that we find fulfillment in, and working for ourselves is quite important. So I'm going to give you something really, we're all going to toss some ideas. I'm going to really quickly tell you some really good root work for heading in that direction, whether it's to bring in a work where you have advancement, or it is to move in the direction of being self-employed, of being able to support yourself with your art or whatever it is that you decide to undertake. I think that what you want in this case is a mojo bag. Mojo bags are perfect, old-school, old-timey conjure work. You know, they were called, when I was growing up, prayer bags. You know, this is the way to go, because it's your little ally, and you're going to carry it on you so that no matter which direction you go in, whether it's finding a new job or going into your own career, into your own business, whatever it is, the mojo bag will help draw that to you. It works with you. It's a dynamic sort of working that's constantly working along your intention, right? You know, it's not one purpose, oh, bring in this. It's bring this larger goal of me finding my ideal job, whatever it is. What I want you to do is I want you to take a $20 bill, and you're going to write down your petition on this bill. You're going to write what it is exactly you're looking for. Yes, we're messing up a $20 bill. If you don't want to do that, you could do it on $1 or just a regular piece of paper. But I was told, do it on money. You're going to write on there your ideal characteristics for a job, what you want out of it. I want to feel fulfilled. I want to make good money and a good living that supports myself and my partner. I want to be able to feel happy at my job. I want to be my own boss. Whatever it is, you're going to write all of that, okay? And then you're going to write Psalm 23 over it. Okay, so it's going to get a little messy, it's going to get a little tricky, but you can do it. You're going to write the entirety of Psalm 23 over it, okay? Once you do that, you're going to take a small lodestone, and you're going to place it in the center of this, and you're going to put a pinch of magnetic sand. You're going to say, whatever, you know, this lodestone, as I feed you, I want you to feed me by drawing to me my ideal career. You're going to fold this up and place this into the mojo bag, which is a red flannel bag. You're going to add to this a single bay leaf. You're going to add to it alkanet and alfalfa. This is to protect you, your money, and so that when you do go in whatever career, that it doesn't, you don't take a financial hit, right? You are warding off poverty and financial difficulties. You're going to put cinnamon in there. You're going to put five-finger grass for success with all five of your fingers, and you're going to put gravel root on there, and you're going to pray your desire right into the bag, and then you're going to recite Psalm 23 right into the bag, letting your breath fill the bag with life. Tie that bag with 3 knots, feed it a little bit of whiskey, and carry it on you no matter where you go. And once a week, you're going to take that bag out, you're going to talk to it, you're going to hold it in your hand, you're going to squeeze it, and you're going to ask it to help you, and you're going to feed it a little bit of whiskey. Give it just a little bit. You don't want to smell like alcohol everywhere you go, but just a little bit of whiskey. You say, as I feed you, you feed me, my friend. I'm faithful to you, you be faithful to me. Bring to me my career, bring to me my job. And you do this, and you've got a good head start spiritually on heading down the path that you need to be on, okay? I'm going to turn this over to Kat and Papa G and see if they have anything else to add on this, and we'll get some brainstorming going for you.
Alrighty.
Thank you so much.
Okay. So, Papa G, what do you have to say?
Well, I would say, especially considering the kind of store he worked in, that definitely to use some St. Joseph candles, who is for business and finance. Joseph the Carpenter.
That's really good, yeah.
Go ahead.
Also known as St. Joseph the Worker or the Carpenter. Yeah, in other words, there and he probably knows this, working in a religious store. There are pictures of St. Joseph holding the baby, and there's pictures of St. Joseph where he's got a carpenter's bench, and he's teaching little toddler Jesus how to use the tools. That's what you're talking about, right?
Right.
Yes.
And Gregory, I want to, if you'll allow me, I want to tell you, before Kat asked, did you want a reading, I want to tell you the three cards that I pulled, because it shows exactly what you're going to be doing.
Great.
The first card was the Ten of Wands, which is about life as a battle. You know, you've already done that. And I'm going to go through this quickly, because it's just a little bit of an add-on here. The second one is the Two of Wands, which is about future planning, assessing your life, assessing all that you have and figuring out where you want to go. And then the final one is the Magician. It's someone who creates a new life, who has skills and power, and takes power and self-confidence and a lot of times creates things with their hands or creates things out of nothing, which is what a painter does.
So those cards, may I just ask again, those cards were, what were they, the Ten of Wands?
Ten of Wands,
uh-huh.
Two of Wands,
two of wands.
The Magician.
Magician, great, okay, got it. That's interesting, too, because the Two of Wands I always associate with having a very good partner who will go along with everything you do.
I have a great one.
Yeah. I'm going to go in a little different direction with this. You're doing painting and you're doing fiber arts. I'm going to get you to put some stuff in the paintings and in the fiber arts to draw attention to your work. Okay? So depending on what kind of paints you use, you can put into them either water or oil. Those are usually what will work. And you can use Crown of Success, money drawing, and anything like that. If you want to use it in water, you can add the bath crystals and just dilute it in water. If you're going to use oil paints, you can put it in oil. If you're using fiber, you're going to use the bath crystals and make a liquid tea or bath. When you're fixing the materials in some way, you're going to either spritz them or soak them, depending on what you're weaving, whether it's wool or, you know, that's up to you. You know your business, and I'm just telling you, okay? But it's going to be Crown of Success and Money Drawing, and Look Me Over is a good one, or Attraction, to get people to pay attention to this stuff. You want them to be able to, if they touch it, buy it. That's what the Money Drawing and the Look Me Over is for. Now, in the chat room, Michelle Jackson, who also is a good artist and works as an artist, says, make sure you also network with others. And that means a business card that you can hand out at places. And when you're doing that, we want you to have that business card dressed and powdered with things such as Attraction, Look Me Over, Money Drawing, and Crown of Success, because that is really what is going to help you make those connections with people. When you buy the business cards, you just have them in the box and you lightly dust with a makeup brush the tops and sides. Pray over them the 23rd Psalm, put your hand over it, 23rd Psalm. As I distribute these business cards, so may they bring me people who are interested in my work. Make sure the business card is printed on both sides. Never give out a business card that's half printed. You want something on the other side. It should be art, right? And so that they can see what it is you do. If you have a website, make sure on your website that you have some marked pictures where you would blow the picture up very large in Photoshop, and then using a pencil tool, put in your prayer, you know, like of Attraction, you know, see my work, buy my work, love my work, whatever. Another idea, you're working right now at a religious shop. Can you make or produce, I'm not asking you to answer this, but think about it. If you can make or produce a line of small products that they would carry, ask them as a favor if they would carry them. That would be religiously oriented goods. within the context of their religious work. In other words, if you work with FEMO or something, you could make little somethings. You know what I'm saying? Just somethings, whatever they would eat. If you do beading, can you make little keychain danglers? But whatever you do, make sure you dress those too. Now, they may not be the big work that gets you seen, but they're going to be things that people buy and carry. And always it's good to hand out small, free, or very cheap things to people that they will carry with them and carry your name and your reputation out into the world, right? If they come with a little card that has your URL on it, so much the better, right? So those are some of the things that I would do to try to get into the bohemian lifestyle, which is the self-supported lifestyle, as opposed to the wage slave lifestyle. Now, there are two ways to work. One is to be a wage slave, and that is always working for that wage, because that's the only way you know to live. And the other is to be an independent contractor or an independent business person, and those are different. An independent contractor might be making things for other companies. For instance, if you have some skill and talent, you know you're talking to the co-owner of the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. We sell amulets and charms all day long. Now I'm going to give you one example. We sell something, and I don't want you copying this woman. There's a woman who makes these painted bottle spells for us. Don't be copying her now. This is her life work. But she came up with this. She was a nurse. There were these little bottles that they were throwing out at the hospital. She cleaned them out. She began to decoupage and paint them with saints on them. We've been selling them for, my gosh, almost 20 years now. She's the only one who makes them, and they're beautiful. But the thing is, she found something that she could make her do. She's still occupied as a nurse. That she's not going to give up that job. That's got good benefits in retirement. But we are always buying these from her because people love them because they're art. Come up with something that you can market through that shop or even through a shop like mine or online so that people don't have to just be buying the large pieces, the paintings, the fiber art, okay? But when you do those large pieces, make sure they are marked for success, for recognition, and for fame, because if you're going to be an independent contractor or a self-employed person, you must be known to the world. And so it goes beyond the gift of your talent and the gift of your dedication, your loyalty to the project, your ability to work long hours. You also have to be seen, all right? That is what I would tell you.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
When you're doing something creative every day and you're working on something creative, sometimes the day job doesn't bother you as much. Because, you know, I started out as a house painter.
Oh, my gosh.
I was a house painter. Hey, a house painter in the daytime, and I was making bath salts at night.
Wow.
And then, you know, and I didn't mind painting. I repainted apartments as people moved out. I did three a day by myself. And I didn't mind that because I knew I was working towards something else. Now, you know, I have the soap store, and I just make soap, and I sell Lucky Mojo products, and that's all I do now. But, you know, I was a painter when I started.
Yes, and I have hauled hay. I have pruned apple trees. I'll tell you, I've picked peaches. No kidding. I mean, you know, when you are what you are, a Taurus, you'll do anything. And
that's right.
But you'll always be working toward your independence. That is the Taurus way. You really wandered into the right group of people here because we're going to give you all that Taurus stuff. Remember, springtime is your strong time. Springtime is your strong time. So get yourself prepared for spring. That's when you're going to start to flower, all right? And I wish you all the luck. And if you want to work with another Gregory who's a Taurus, you cannot do any worse than or any better to call Papa G. He's a Gregory who's a Taurus, just like you. And that's just one of those signs from heaven, I call it.
Indeed.
Good luck to you. All the best to you.
Thank
all
you.
The best.
We know you're going to make it. We know you're going to make it.
Thank you.
And
I'm so grateful.
And love
Thank
to
you.
Your love, too. All right.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Well, that was an interesting one. That was unusual. You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Workout on the LMC Radio Network, and we'll be right back with our free spell.
You are listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters, spanning a wide range of topics. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner. Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban polo and Dominican sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times, comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burma Shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
Thank you, Nagashiva. And we have reached our free spell segment here at the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour. Turning it over to Papa G of WhiteMojo.com. Take it away, Papa G.
Thank you, Papa New. And I am so glad I decided on this particular spell because it not only incorporates drinking in magic, but it applies to both of the callers. I call this my open the gate spell, and it's basically a road opening spell, because what you're going to do is baptize away all the negative parts of your life and everything that's gone wrong and open the gates to a new and positive, more fulfilling life. And what you do is you take a regular size piece of paper and you write out all the things that are holding you back. And this can be negative people around you. It might be negative things that you're participating in, even doubting yourself. Maybe you're gossiping on Facebook, stuff that. Engaging in drama. Or there's people that are holding you, generally just holding you back from what you want to do. Write all that down on that piece of paper. On a smaller piece of paper, maybe 4x4, regular petition size, write out all the good things you have going for you. I'm kind, I'm creative, I'm spiritual, have a family that loves me. Just really dig in and go with it. And you have full permission to flatter yourself and say whatever good thing you want to say about yourself. And then I want you to first take a fire-safe dish or ashtray, an orange 4-inch spell candle, you know, sometimes called a chime candle, Lucky Mojo has them, and a bottle of Lucky Mojo road opener, oil or powder. And your large piece of paper, your negative list, you're going to rub down the candle with your road opener oil or powder, light the candle and say, I open the gates to everything that is positive, loving, and good, and close the gates on everything and everyone that is holding me back. Pray over this as long as you want. You're actually going to, you know, concentrate on this because this is the most important part. You're getting rid of all this bad stuff. fold your negative list away from you to repel the negative thing. Catch the paper on fire with the candle. Put it in the ashtray or fire safe dish because you're going to use the ashes later, and allow the candle to burn until it finishes. Now you're going to prepare your ritual bath, and you'll be bathing from the inside out by brewing a special tea. And you do this bath in the evening before sunset, and I'll explain that later. You'll need lemongrass, cinnamon, both for cleansing and purification, ginger and lemon balm to protect you and clear things out, and hyssop to break the bonds of the past. And on the stove, I want you to brew a strong tea with these herbs, a good amount, using a big teaspoon or more of each ingredient and about 3 or 4 cups of water. And set aside a pinch of each of these ingredients to use later. Strain it if you prefer, and pour some into a cup for you to drink during your bath and the rest of the bath water that you've drawn. You pour the rest into the bath that you've drawn. Now, make sure to take a bowl into the bath with you, because you're going to collect some of the bath water after you've finished. But first, you're going to add to the bowl the ashes from your negative list of things, the ashes you collected from burning that. Then, light a white candle either side of the tub. Step through the light into the water. Soak in the bath as long as your instinct tells you to, and be drinking your tea the entire time you're bathing. But save the last sip. Swish it around in your mouth and spit it into the bowl. Collect the bath water in the bowl, set it aside, drain the bath, towel dry, you know, gently patting the skin. Blow out the candles and step out of the tub. Now, I want you to then take the bowl of bath water outside and throw it to the sunset, because this will actually leave the past influences behind you. And after all you've done all of this, you can take the same list of herbs you bathed with, those you set aside, the dry ones, not the wet ones from the tub, mix them in with your positive list and make a mojo bag out of white flannel. And keep it close to you, sort of as your talisman, to remind you whenever the negative things begin to creep in your past that, no, I don't have time for this. If I'm moving on to new things, and I'm actually having a new life is opening up to me, and when negative things start, you touch it, and it's like, no time. Moving on to new things. And whenever you feel it needs a little bit of a nudge, feed the mojo bag with your red opener oil. And that
That is
That's
great
beautiful.
Work.
That's a great piece of work. I'm very impressed with
love
that. As usual, Papaji, you are inventive. You are very traditional at the same time. All right. Well, let's turn this over to Papa Newt, who's going to take us out.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Papa G of WhiteMojo.com in Nashville, Tennessee, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Professor Ames of SalboneEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado, bringing the next week's panel discussion, The Spaces Between. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Kansas City, Missouri. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Papa Newt, and thank you all for being with us. Thank you, Papa G, and we hope to have your beautiful Taurus self back again soon.
Yeah, I'd like to have me on the All Taurus Hour.
Yeah.
Well, it was a great pleasure to see how you work and the kind of things you recommend to people. And thank you, Ali, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always nice to have you. Now, I have about a few seconds just to say that the Hoodoo Heritage Festival will be coming up in May. And so I want everybody to remember, keep on the lookout. Tickets will be on sale. And we have our lineup pretty much firmed up. And we're really hoping to bring you a great Hoodoo Heritage Festival, new books, and lots of new presenters. We'll give you more information on that later. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night. Good night.